I want to thank you all for your kind fellowship in the gospel for so many years. I go back at least 55 years in the Lord's work. So some of the saints in heaven, some are here still, and so am I. Praise the Lord. But also thank you for taking care of my family here. They really love Kenilworth, Nellie and Duane, and Greg and Kathy, and all the kids. And the water here must be tremendous because they're growing so fast that if you have any short nephews, bring them over here. I'm sure some people want to get a little taller. So praise the Lord for that. Just a couple of words about the ministry that goes on in New York City. The assemblies are doing well. We have some small ones, a little bigger ones, but they're all trying to work together for the glory of God. And this is nice. We have at least 14 Spanish-speaking assemblies scattered around the city. We have some outside the city in Connecticut, over in other places nearby New Jersey. You have some in Pennsylvania, Easton, and others came from Puerto Rico back in, I guess we came in 1954, 53. My dad brought us all over. And Puerto Ricans dominated. We were it. They would ask, are you Puerto Rican? I said, yes. They said, show me your knife. No, that's not true. Got a bad rap. But now Puerto Ricans have gone on to other places, some very prosperous. And praise the Lord, Dominicans have come in. Now Mexicans have come in, and Central Americans are coming in. So New York is a wonderful place. It's a great city. I love New York. All five boroughs. And you know, they start out in Lower Manhattan. You had all kinds of people that come in, and they keep spreading around. So pray for that, because we have new clientele for the gospel in Bushwick. That's our place. Bushwick wasn't known a few years ago. Now Bushwick is very well known all around, even around the world. We have people coming in from all over the world because it's become the artist capital of New York. Artists everywhere. If you want to see something interesting, go to Bushwick. Come to Brooklyn. And they have painted all the buildings, you know, outside and inside. It's just amazing. And you'll get people from different parts of the country. In Bushwick. Bushwick, 10, 15 years ago, was burning. It burned everywhere. Now they're building. Every little spot is being built up. And God has us there for a purpose. We've been there probably close to 80 years, the chapel. And people are coming from different parts of the world. We had a family of, I think it was 8 people from Italy. They came to visit, and they decided to come to Bushwick. And they didn't speak English. They spoke Italian, a little Spanish, but they sat down with us at the Lord's Supper, and we had good times with them. Then you had a couple in the honeymoon. They decided to come to New York. Oops, shut. I told you this is safe. And so they came also. You got different people. A guy from Rhodesia came once with his girl. And so it's open to the community. So pray that God will give us wisdom. Because when people come in, you have to reach them with the gospel. I live in Queens now, but the chapel is in Brooklyn. And you have hundreds of different languages spoken in Queens. Every language possible around the world is found in Queens. So you can find people from all parts of the world. So pray for that. The work continues. Praise the Lord. The Awana Clubs continue. I think we were the first Awana Clubs in New York City. And it goes on by the grace of God. It goes back, you know, 50 years ago, and it's still going on for the Lord. We have a basketball ministry. Somebody else has taken this ministry, and young people come in, and they hear the gospel. Jose Cabrera is a brother in charge, a young man. The Awana Clubs is headed by Bo Felipe and his wife, who still help out as helpers now. And I've always, by the grace of God, been able to go to jails a little bit at a time. Been at least 25 years going to different jails in New York. Queens House of Detention was one. And God led us to go in there. And I gave a tract to a brother. No, he gave me a tract to me. And we started talking. He says, you know, I go to jail. Would you like to come with me? So I went with him to Queens House of Detention. And it was a great time. The captain in charge of the place, the facility, she said, you guys go down there and get a picture ID. Got a picture ID. We were able to go into Queen's House of Detention. The chaplain in charge, he wasn't, I don't think he was a Christian. He did it more, you know, for money. It's, the theme of his life is money through religion. So you get the idea. He's a nice guy, but that's his theme. He's a full-time pastor. He was a full-time chaplain in the jail. And so we go in there, and God had one of my relatives was the head of doing the orientation to all the prisoners that would come in. Now, Queen's House of Detention is very interesting because you get prisoners from Kennedy Airport, and guys are, you know, all kinds of people do all kinds of bad things, right? You might have one guy who was a mule. You know what a mule is? They swallow, and the drugs are there. Well, the drug burst on him, and he was in critical. Anyway, you have people from different parts, and they would come there, and by the grace of God, it came to the point where this guy's name was Ramsey. His brother was married to my niece. He said, would you like to take, you know, give the orientation? Oh, sure, why not? Anytime you get to give the gospel, you do it. And interesting is that this chaplain, he had a whole closet full of New Testaments and Bibles given by the Gideons, but we never give any out. A whole big closet. Oh, man, alive. That's like gold, right? And every time we came, okay, everybody got a New Testament, and that was part of the orientation. Remember, a Muslim imam said, what are you doing? So I'm just, you know, just giving these things. I was a little afraid, but he didn't do anything. A few years later, he got caught in some bad thing, and they kicked him out of the chaplaincy. But it was there. So we spent weeks and weeks and weeks, a couple of years, and it kept going down, down, down. And the last, it's amazing. The last batch of Bibles we gave out, I think the next week, Queen's House closed for renovation. This goes back at least 15 years. It hasn't opened yet, but the Bibles went out. Isn't that the grace of God? I mean, it's amazing. So we pray for that. Now we're in Rikers Island. God has Rikers open. You know, Rikers is very well known for its violence. But you know, a lot of good people in Rikers. You got some Christian officers, captains. Some of the men that are in there are Christians, but you also have some real bad dudes, bad inmates in there. So, but the Lord has it open. I have 2 days. The chaplain's giving me 2 days. I used to have 5 days, and he cut it down. New chaplain came in, and he just said, you know, cut my wings a little bit. But he gave me Friday and Saturday. And he doesn't show up Friday or Saturday. He only comes up to Thursday. So the jail is mine. That's my baby. Especially on Saturday, nobody goes in there but myself. By the grace of God, me and the Lord. So you could go to any area. This is in GRBC, it's a big building. It has like 18 or 19 different houses. They call them houses. And these guys lived there. Some of them are solitary confinement. Some might have 8 or 10 guys because it's so dark and so violent. Others have, it's open, so you have a little more freedom to talk, sit down with the guys. And so that's, the gospel is going out. The word of God is going out. So pray for that. I was there Saturday. And they have one facility, it's called the Cage. They put this up maybe 2 years ago, especially for teenagers that are very violent. They have to be caged. It's actually a cage. They turn the house, this building, and they have 1, 2, 3, 4 cages. And that's where they do the study, and they eat there, and then they sleep upstairs in the second floor. Well, it's interesting. You just got to go in there and find out. It's a really interesting place. They're caged. Nobody goes in, but the Lord has that door open. So I went in yesterday. Yesterday was Saturday, right? Okay. You know, you get old, you forget everything. Anyway, so God had a nice time talking to the guys. I mean, they really, a little guy, a million guy, and another guy. Just, you could see the venom. But they want, one little guy wanted to listen. The other guy said, no, I don't want to hear that. So I put a stack of tracks on the table. And this kid grabbed it, the bigger guy. And I said, hey, give it back. And I said, looked at the officer. He didn't do anything. So I grabbed the cards he was playing with. You take my tracks, I'll take your cards. We're going to come to blows. But you know, I got scared. The first time being there for so many years because you're confined. But the Lord protected, you know. The Lord is good. So I said, you know what? You keep those tracks. And give them out to your friends, okay? Do that for me. They all looked at me, you crazy. So then I walked out to see another cage, And he said, listen, I'm going to give them back to you. So he opened a little slit that you put the food in. He said, here you are. And he threw them on the floor. So praise the Lord, he threw them all back, and I picked them all up. And it was a testimony. God wouldn't I like to go back, see him maybe next week, and talk to him. You know, God can soften the hearts. We read this morning of people being enslaved in prison and tied up in knots. And it's a hopeless situation, not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I write? When Jesus came, he touched lives all around. People who had diseases, he touched them. Now, these guys, they don't like to be touched. I'm a touchy person. I touch the guys, you know, I talk, how you doing? You guys looking, what are you doing, you know? Some of these guys probably never been touched by a dad. They don't have dads. They don't have dads. They'll have a mother or a grandmother. We've given out Christmas cards and Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards. You got Father's Day cards, nobody takes them. Mother's Day cards, I'll take. That's their condition that they grew up in. So there's hope. So, you know, Jesus touched people, touched the leper. He grabbed, took little children and touched them and embraced them. They say that if you don't take a child, a little baby, when he's born and embrace him and love him, they could have problems, physical, mental, spiritual problems. So touching like that is, you just have to be careful. But some of them are very friendly. They'll hug you and they'll pray for you, pray with you. Just met one guy yesterday. This guy seems to be a scholar. He's been in jail for 7 years. He's been studying. I told him about John MacArthur. Oh, I know John MacArthur. I hear him all the time. And this, it's amazing. So I tell him, you know, when are you going out? I said, well, I don't know, but this is my ministry here. So he's preaching the gospel to the inmates there. So it's a wonderful thing where you have Christians that are doing that. I don't know what he did, but he's spending his time. So the jail ministry is it's a wonderful thing. And other Christians are going in, especially ladies and other groups who go in and they give out the gospel. So it's an open door. Anyway, that's the jail ministry. Please pray, because not too many people know about the ministry in the jail. Not too many people are really involved with that. But if you pray, God is going to open doors and save lives, okay? All right, for this morning, I just want to just read a couple of verses that remind us of Christmas, the Christmas story. And just going to give you one of the verses here in the book of Galatians chapter 4, which speaks about the coming of Christ and the purpose of Christ's coming. I'm listening now to Family Radio. How many listen to Family Radio station here? Raise your hand if you know. Family Radio? Nobody. There used to be Camping Station, but it's no more. They've gotten really good. They got John MacArthur speaking there, R.C. Sproul, all the good Christian, and the music all day. Good, solid Christian music, but a little bit too much about the birth of Christ. You can't just stick to the birth of Christ. You got to go beyond that, way beyond that. Because a little baby in a manger, in a straw, is not going to save you. It is the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God, will save you. So you have to go beyond that. And that's what the world, the devil will use anything to put the emphasis on the manger only, without the cross, without the resurrection, without the purpose of him coming, without teaching that he is the Redeemer. He paid the price to save us, to make us right with God. This is so wonderful. Anyway, look at chapter 4 of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus, through Christ. Okay, so here is a beautiful verse about Christmas. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son. The fullness of the time. God has a plan. Okay? Even before He created anything, God has a plan. Always has a plan. God is in control. But God sees everything. So there's a plan that God has in His mind, in His heart, to rescue us from our sins. He knows all about Satan. He knows all about sin. He knows about destruction. He knows about disease. He knows about everything. And God is the only one that is able to dissipate those things, take them away, and turn bad things into good things. What is the worst thing that could happen to you as an individual? Okay? The worst thing is you could die. Okay? I mean, I've been to a couple of graduations, I call them. My sister passed away just recently, during Thanksgiving. We were in Florida with her. She passed away. And, you know, she was a Christian. She lived for the Lord. So she entered the rest, entered the glory of God. It's a graduation, going to graduation for awards, rewards for the work that you did for the glory of God. You don't work for salvation, but you work for the Lord because you love Him and you want to serve Him. So that was one of them. There's another one. One of the ladies that I knew when we were teenagers, she just passed away a couple of weeks ago. I went from one funeral to the next one. And just yesterday, they called me that the senator, the wife of the senator, Senator Maltese, senator from New York City, from New York, he was from Queens, she passed away. She was 86. So different people are passing away. Now, I don't think she's safe, but she might be safe. So pray for her, because I might get a chance to speak at the funeral. They're very Catholic, and yet, she told me a couple of years ago, you know, we're sitting together eating at a restaurant. She said, you know, I had a dream that the number 316 came out several times, and then it came out 316. What do you do with 316, guys? Give me at least three verses that have 316 in it. Give me one good verse. John 3:16, right? And I'd share with her. And then there's another one, I think it's 1 Timothy 3:16. Another powerful verse. And 2 Timothy 3:16, just powerful stuff. So I was able to share with her. This lady was quite a lady. She was an artist. It's amazing. And she has stopped believing in her religion. So pray. I hope that by the grace of God that she's saved. But pray for her husband and others that we are acquainted with. So this is the Christmas story right here. In the fullness of time. When the fullness of time come, God sent His Son. Okay, God sent His Son. We got the verse way back. You know these verses very well. Isaiah 9:6. Remember Isaiah 9:6. These are deep, deep verses that speak to us of God's plan of salvation. We know Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6 is a beautiful, beautiful verse. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And the Lord of hosts, that's a title of God who's in charge of all the armies of heaven. I mean, amazing. All the angels are in the control of God, and God is working on our side. You have a guardian angel. We all need guardian angels, especially as we drive on the streets. I was taking my son this morning, this is like 6 o'clock, going into LaGuardia Airport, and there's this big accident just before you enter into the airport. You know, the section B, you go, that's where I have to go. We see this car, all kinds of ambulance and police car, turned over on his head. How in the world do you... It's just amazing. Any accident could happen at any time. The Lord keeps us. The Lord protects us. The Lord is watching over us. And some of us need more angels than others, but He's watching over us. We can praise God for that, that He has us. Anyway, the Lord, the Bible tells us that a child is born, that's Christmas. A son is given, that's eternity past. The eternal Son wasn't born. He's always been God, eternal. But God became a man in order to bleed to die, to suffer, to take our sins upon His body, to be crucified. And the greatest suffering of Christ wasn't the torture of the soldiers and the rabbis and the people around them. No, the greatest torture was the torture of 3 hours when Jehovah lifted up His rod, the Father lifted up His rod of judgment, and it fell upon Jesus Christ. He loves us, and He opened His heart. He loved me, He loves you. That's when He cried at the end of those 3 hours, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's interesting. He never called the Father God. He called Him Father. But then when He became sin for us, when He took upon Himself our sins, He never became a sinner, but He took our sins for us. And He died on the cross for us as a sacrifice to God. All right, this guy's a follower. He must be the guy from Rikers. Okay. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is able. Was that the thing here? Okay, come on. Makes me feel at home. That'd be good to take to the city and preach to the guys. You hear that outside? That happened to us once. I told the guys, look, you don't know what's going to happen to you when you go outside. Sure enough, they went out. So one of the guys got shot right around the chapel. Anyway, we're back to this. This is so important. You know, the Lord is our Savior. And He says that a child is born. That's Christmas. A son is given. That's God's plan for the ages. Okay? So the humanity of Christ, perfect humanity, perfect deity in one person. They ask me, some of these guys, I deal a lot with Muslims because they always attack you. I had great discussions with them. They attack the Bible. They attack Jesus. They attack, they say, that, how could somebody die for me? I have to die for myself. I have to tell them, look, you don't know who Jesus is. He wasn't just a man, He was God. Because He was man, He was able to give His life, able to die. Because He's God, that death was good enough to save us all from sin. He paid it all. Imagine the blood that fell from Jesus' hands and side and head and from His side falling to the ground. I mean, that blood not only saves us, it saves the world. There's a day coming when God is going to change His whole world around. It's going to be beautiful, the kingdom age. No more thorns and thistles, no more death, and no more. It's just tremendous. This is waiting. You know, in Romans chapter 8, there are three groans that I've mentioned. Romans chapter 8. The first one is the groan of creation. Creation is groaning. Groaning. Waiting for something to happen. And what's going to happen? It's going to be liberated. It's going to be set free. I mean, we have destruction everywhere. Everywhere you go. Well, not so much in my little neighborhood. It's really good. Maybe your neighborhood is nice. But the world is really in bad shape, right? Polluting, doing all kinds of things. It's like it's grown. He says it's like a picture of a woman ready to give birth. You ladies that are here, you know what that is. Okay? I remember my wife told me, you know, I wasn't going to get any medicine to ease the pain. The pains came, give me that medicine! That's groaning, right? Well, that's the way the world is groaning. Deserts, fires, floods. It's just amazing. There's such need here. Anyway, the world is groaning, waiting for the church, Christians, to be delivered. Because once we're delivered, the earth will be delivered also for that period of time. Then he says that the Christians are groaning, in chapter 8 also. We who have the first fruits of salvation, we groan within ourselves, waiting to be clothed upon, okay, waiting to receive a new body. The Bible speaks about the Christian's body. It looks at it as a tent. And you know, you have a tent, you put a tent up, you don't live there. It's just temporary. That's the way our body is. It's a tent. And he also pictures it, our body, as a little seed that falls to the ground. And he says, unless that little seed falls, it'll never grow to be something glorious. So we must go through death, because flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of God. This will never inherit the kingdom of God. But while we're in the body, The Bible says the inner man is renewed every day. Even though when we become feeble, we can do what we used to do, yet in its spiritually, you and I should look a little better than yesterday, spiritually speaking. Okay? And this happens as we contemplate the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we spend time with the Lord, as we seek His face. It doesn't come automatically. We have to push ourselves. It's not easy. Paul said, I beat my body black and blue, that I might just serve the Lord, not to fall into sin and temptation, that I might serve Him with my whole heart. I just discipline myself. It doesn't come easy. But it can be done. I think I have to learn to pray. And we pray, God, help me. Well, is God going to help you if you have an undisciplined life? Is God going to help you if we have a tendency to waste time, to waste our money, not to use our gifts for the glory of God? Sure, He's going to help us. Are we willing to let Him help us? He will help us. And wake us up that we might get excited about Jesus Christ. I mean, this is amazing. When Jesus was born, the angels sang. You know, we sing to the Lord. We sing about the birth. But we sing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ even louder. And in heaven, the Lamb of God will be worshipped. Isn't that wonderful? He was slain, but He's alive. It's a wonderful thing to be part of the family of God. So a child was born. The Son is given. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. And He says, for God so loved the world that He gave. The world doesn't love God. But God loves the world. Those boys in the jail, your family, your friends, the people around here in Kenilworth, you know, they don't love God, but the Lord loves them, and it's up to us to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ as God gives us opportunity. And God always gives opportunity to preach the gospel. Anyway, let's go to another passage. Okay, so many beautiful passage about the birth of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. These are the verses that I like to look at once in a while. That remind me of Christmas, remind me of the Lord, remind me of the resurrection of Christ. It's all found in the Word of God. And in Romans chapter 8, and we're looking at, look at verse 3. It says, for what the Lord could not do, in that He was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, it condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you see the Christmas story in verse 3. For what the Lord could not do in that He was weak through the flesh. We can't save ourselves. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't do anything for ourselves to really satisfy the heart of God. God is too holy. But once we become Christians through the Spirit of God, then in a wonderful way, the Spirit of God does something in our lives that He changes our tone of voice, changes our thinking, He changes even our walk. He just wants to change it. It takes a whole life long. It might take you 50, 60, 70, 70, 80 years until you get there. But you, every day, God wants to change us. The devil wants to destroy us, but God wants to change us. Here, we couldn't fulfill the law. What does the law do? The law condemns you. It's coming at the park right here. And this pickup truck, he was flying. I said, man, that guy's going fast. Behind him, light pulled him over. Was I glad? Maybe. Anyway, but you know, the law will tell you, you can't do that. You can't go that fast. At least you can't go and get caught. But you can't go that fast. The law tells you, judges you. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lust. All these different things the Lord tells you, just can't do that. And so this tells us here, because the Lord couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, I couldn't help myself. Religion can't save you in any way, shape, or form. Religion tells you, look, you do something. Some put clothing on themselves, put hats, put this. They have all kinds of festivals, all kinds of things. Don't eat this, don't eat that. And you're doing it. But the Bible says our righteousness, our goodness, are like filthy rags, the smelly rags to the eyes of God. God is too holy to behold sin. But God is also a God of love. His love is so great, so vast, so deep. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. As we sang that chorus the other day at one of the chapels. It's a beautiful hymn. It's all around me. It's underneath me. It's leading me to God. The love of God is leading me to Him. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, there are a lot of lights in the city. Rockefeller Center has some beautiful shows. You got lights in Fifth Avenue. You got lights around here. But the greatest light is the light of Jesus Christ. And he's in our hearts. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your light, the light of Jesus, is in us. And that's the light the world needs. Somebody asked, a young man came over to Spurgeon. He said, Spurgeon, Mr. Spurgeon, the Bible is the light of the world. Spurgeon said, no. You are the light of the world. Because the world is not reading the Bible. But they're reading you and they're reading me. They could see what God is like in your life, in my life. And we have to have that in our minds. That, and we didn't even know when we were being influenced on other people. Something like Moses, and we kept with 40 days in the mountain with God, and his face shone. He didn't even know it was shining, but the people saw it, and they became afraid. Well, God is going to see. God is going to show. God is going to use a little light to glorify his glory name. So this is really important. So what the Lord cannot do, you can't save yourself, but the Lord is able, willing, and he will save you. Anyway, another passage, a beautiful passage. They're all over the place. In 2 Hebrews. There's no 2 Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, another beautiful passage that we use greatly that speaks to us of the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it speaks to us about religion. Even a religion that was set by God could turn out to be something bad because the people, instead of going to Christ, they kept their religion, they added to them, put people under bondage, and they forgot all about Christ. And when Christ came, they crucified him. They didn't accept him. He had open arms. They said, crucify him. So religion, what God did in the Old Testament was to cut the conscience, to make him realize, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. These sacrifices, this tabernacle, this tent, all these sacrifices, this high priest, the Holy of Holies, all those things point to God who is holy. God who is judge. God who is going to punish. But a God of love. When that priest went into the Holy of Holies with some blood in his hands and those cherubims looking down at the glory of God. I mean, you have the law under that little box. The law says, you're guilty. You're going to hell. But the blood says, I love you. And you take that blood, put it on that little plate of gold, and that was signifying that God loves us. But he hates sin. He can't stand it. But God is love. And because of his love, he sent his son. So this is a wonderful thing that we have. And in chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here very directly. He says, verse 4, Hebrews 10, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. This is the greatest religion there was, guys. This is God sent. God told them how to make the tabernacle, how to do the temple, how to do the sacrifices, how to do the feast. All this was God's thing. So every other religion is secondary to Judaism. Jesus said that he was a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews because the gospel came through him. And he was the Lamb of God that was represented in the Old Testament to take away the sin of the world. So he says, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Here's the body of Christ. Here's the virgin birth. Here's Bethlehem. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Oh, this is beautiful. Jesus did the will of the Father. He didn't miss a step. He just kept going. He didn't miss a step. He kept going. I remember running track in high school. And it was a relay race. And there was this little guy. Okay, I think he was second. And, you know, he dropped the baton. He just picked it up, kept going. He didn't miss a step. He was close to the ground. Well, Jesus didn't miss a step. All the difficulties, all the problems. I mean, the devil tempted him. The religious leaders questioned his sanity. They said, we're not born of fornication. That was the thought around, apparently, that Mary wasn't married to Joseph, so she must have done something wrong. I could imagine Mary carrying that burden, but she knew that it was the Holy Spirit that made that baby be born in her womb. And she just waited and waited for those 30 years. And when he stepped out, She said, do whatever he tells you to do. Just be ready. Now we know the truth that this is a son of God. What a privilege for a woman like Mary to bear the Son of God. Mary, did you know? You know that song? You kiss the face of God. It's a wonderful thing. I could imagine you brothers and sisters, you have children, we're so proud of them. Well, this was probably the proudest baby ever. And yet he was just like another man. He didn't exercise his right and authority. He didn't tell his father, probably, Dad, that's wrong. No, he was submissive to his father. He was obedient to the father. Anyway, so he says, verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and sacrifice offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Anyway, this is wonderful, isn't it? One offering, that's all you need. All you need is Christ. Hear that song, all you need is love. Well, the love of God is all we need. And we already have it. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look to him. Maybe you're sitting here and you've been religious all your life. But you never said, Lord, I'm a sinner. The only people that will come to Christ will be saved, will be sanctified by the Spirit of God, will receive forgiveness of sins, will be born again, will have the names written in heaven, are those people who recognize, I am a sinner. We read about the prodigal son this morning. He was doing great, having a ball. He lost his money, he lost his friend, he lost his job, he lost his health, he lost everything. And then he said, what am I doing here? My father's house. He has everything. I'll go back and I'll confess my sins to my dad. And his father was looking out for him. And he didn't stay there. He ran to see his son. It's beautiful when a son kisses you, you know, or a daughter. It's a wonderful thing where you can hug your daughter, your son, your children, your grandchildren. And this father loved him. The boy confessed. He accepted the Lord, accepted the forgiveness. Life was changed completely. Now, have you been changed? Are you sure you're going to heaven? If God were to call you today, will you open your eyes in heaven or will you open your eyes in the flames of fire? You can settle that right now by saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. And then if we're Christians, we've been Christians many years, how much of my life am I giving to the Lord? How much of my time, my talents, my gifts, my children, my job, everything belongs to the Lord and God has given that to us. We're stewards of the life he's given to us that we might spread the gospel to others. So, one offering, one sacrifice. The Son of Man, that term Son of Man is a title of God. If you look at it in the book of Daniel, Son of Man. The Son of Man has power on earth, he told the Jews. He told them, and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Because that's the title of, the Son of Man is the title of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he has the power. So that little boy that was born, that grew up, that was perfect, that was sinless, that went, walked out and spread the gospel, did everything that he did it all for the glory of God. He fulfilled God's holy demands, 100% on my account, on your account. And that holiness, that righteousness is imputed to you, is given to you. Now you might have no money, but if a rich person said, look, I'm going to put $1 million in your account, it's imputed to your account, you'll be a rich man. We had nothing to give God. God says, I'll take your ugliness, your sins, all that you are outside of me, and I'll give you the holiness of God, holiness of Christ. You'll be clothed with Jesus Christ, and God accepts you. Well, listen this morning, or yesterday, about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he says, here are my sons. He's not ashamed to call you brother or sister, can you imagine? Because God has given you his righteousness. So when God looks at Jesus, he looks perfect righteousness. When he looks at you, in Christ, you have perfect righteousness. God is satisfied with you. So we have maybe many, many spiritual wrinkles, many disabilities, but in Christ, we're perfect. The one that Paul said, you know, in Romans 8, you know, who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, nobody. And Paul says, look, I know I'm glorified already. We're sure of that salvation. So we could really rejoice. Anyway, this is another one of those beautiful verses that speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many more. We have to look at them. And the first one was written in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. He was going to be born of a woman without the seed of man. But God put that seed in her. And it's a wonderful thing. The miracle of the virgin birth. Also the Holy Spirit. The miracle of the spiritual birth is the same thing. The Spirit of God will come into your life and impart eternal life. The Spirit will come into your life and it'll take you and place you in Christ. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit of God will seal you. He's the seal that says, He belongs to me forever and ever, because the Spirit of God is the seal. The Spirit of God wants to fill us. That means He wants to give us power to love Him, to serve each other, to live for God. So we have a completed package. And in this Christmas time, let's do what Mary did. He saw all those things. She saw all those things. And what did she do? She pondered them in her heart. She kept them in her heart. May we, brothers and sisters, do the same for the glory of God. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we pray that as we have been focusing on your precious Son, there's nobody more glorious and beautiful than you. He's perfect because he gave his life for us. We thank you, Lord, that he was willing. He said, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. He did just that. We think of Stephen in the New Testament, when he was stoned to death, killed by people who hated him, but whom he loved. He said, Father, forgive them. Then he looked up, and there was Jesus standing, waiting to receive Stephen into the glory of God. Oh, how precious that is, Lord. We pray you'll bless us this afternoon and the rest of this week and the rest of this Christmas season, that we might be able to be witnesses for you. Give us the grace, the love, and just brokenness to do that. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.